Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair, and it is indeed a very beautiful morning, a little overcast, and I know you think I'm going to say, hey, I'm speaking to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Jerusalem, the holy city, but surprise, I am speaking to you from surprisingly an also very holy city called Johannesburg, South Africa. And it's a mellow show. It's our Sukkot show. And I'm very, very excited to speak with you. Speaking on a new microphone, which I know I will hear from others, and they will say, oh, Andrea, you sound wonderful, or Andrea, you sound terrible. You sound like you're speaking in a tin can. Or we'll hear from my friend James, who tells me that I sound like I come from Central Casting. All right. So let me just open up the chat room. Chat room is open. I want to hear from you. I want you to ask me your questions about being in Johannesburg, what it's like. Tell me how your Sukkot's been going. And that is how we will speak today. Some of the things I wanted to tell you, I want to share a few things with you today as we speak. Today's show is in the merit of a refuah shalema, a complete recovery for the Tinok Yishai Lavi Ben Tal Yarut. The baby, Yishai Lavi, son of Tal Yarut. I wish that all cholim, all sick individuals, should get a complete recovery. Yishai Lavi ben Tal Yarut, I'm sharing something a little intimate with you today. This is indeed my grandson, who I am visiting in South Africa, 5 months old as of yesterday. Chronically ill. Today we are going for a chemotherapy treatment, and it is actually faith challenging, faith inspiring, and the community of Johannesburg has been incredible. I want to talk more about it, more about the holiness, and to tie it in with indeed the holiday of Sukkot, the lulav and etrog, and all of us together. So this is Andrea Simintov in Jerusalem, in Johannesburg, and I will see you on the other side. Stay on.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoen. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, Pull Up a Chair, speaking to you from the holy city of Johannesburg, South Africa, where I have, thank God, 3 children living, some with their spouses, many grandchildren. I am here because I can be, and I'm happy to talk to you. So let me first start off and say good morning. Good morning and good night, good evening, late evening to my friends in the U.S. and Canada. Who else is like far over to the left? Chile, Brazil, wow. And over, we also have, listen to this, we have people listening in today from Russia, Australia, Brazil, Germany, Sweden, Argentina, Norway, and Chile. Good morning, good morning, good evening, good evening. And Chag Sameach, Moedim L'Simcha. This is really, we are in the intermediate days of Sukkot. Few things I want to talk about. An engineer, please, I'm asking you now, keep me posted about time because I do run on. I get notices, I get notes during the week. Hey, Andrea, you run on. And I've been accused, not accused, actually blessed. We have some listeners, only non-Jewish listeners find my accent and nasal vocal quality charming. So you just keep listening, you non-Jewish listeners, and find me charming. Jewish men never did find this accent too charming. As I explained to listener, writer, and new good friend James Schultz, my South African husband does not know that I have an accent. So let's just keep it between us. All right. Visiting South Africa, as I mentioned before, I shared an intimacy. I have a very sick grandchild. He was born with a chronic gene mutation. Okay, TMI, not necessary, but he is undergoing, this little angel is undergoing terrible, terrible treatments, always with a smile, developing beautifully. And you know what? We always say, so many of us in the religious Jewish community, we say, it's all good, it's all good. And how often we are tested. I mean, what is this? It is all good. And it brings us to Sukkot. And I spent two lunches and one dinner with one of my daughters and her seven children, her husband, and they open up their sukkah to guests. It's always new people, new interesting people, people who are returning to their Jewish roots. There are people who are in the process of converting. There are people who are recently single by widows or, you know, by widowhood or divorce. And it's always a very exciting table. And as I'm sitting there in their home, and I look up and I look at the sukkah, and I realize that our sukkah in Johannesburg, our sukkot in Johannesburg, are very similar to the sukkahs we built on Long Island, and the sukkahs that are built in Canada, and the sukkahs that are built in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the laws of the sukkah is that when you look up, I have to keep my mouth to the mic because I realize I'm looking up, I'm keeping this you know, sort of like an interpretive dance. Anyway, you have to be able to see three stars in the dead of night when you look up. And what does that mean? Can't we build, you know, first of all, it's very crazy. Anybody looking in, we always used to laugh and we say, what do non-Jews think when they see us stepping outside of our beautiful, comfortable homes, our lovely gardens, our carpeted living rooms, chandeliers, two sink kitchens, marble flooring in the bathroom, and we go out and we camp out for a week and we build this flimsy hut in our garden? What are we saying? And one of the things that stuck with me, a lesson, and I'm really proud because I'm not looking at any notes now. I'm really speaking with you, and I hope that my heart is entering yours because I'm feeling it back. And what it really is, it is a testament to faith. The understanding, a knock, a knock on the head, that when you sit in your four walls in the mansions that we have built, whether it's a one-bedroom studio on the Upper West Side or a magnificent home in Herzliya Petuch or the Five Towns, you could really feel, you could fool yourself into thinking that you're in charge, that what you think is the definitive opinion, that your words are the definitive words. Our walls make us feel very safe. We can create our own illusions when we're locked up in our four walls. And when we step outside and we dwell for 8 days in a hut, a flimsy hut, yes, decorated. Oh, if you have grandchildren, you have to have it decorated. You have children, you have to really make it fun and you hang up. And this is where you get to buy all of the post-Christmas lights to light up your sukkah, you know, when they're on sale at Walmart. And you make it beautiful and you make it fun, but you can't fool yourself when the temperature drops and you realize that it's really, there's nothing between you and God. You fool yourself in your house because even in your 4-foot walls, thick, there's nothing between you and God. But stepping out in the winter, as the winter starts to come in, that's when we realize it. And I once heard a story, a marvelous story. I was at a sukkah meal, a sukkot dinner, and all of us had to go around the table and say what our best sukkahs was. Man, I hated that evening. I didn't want to hear. I was not in a good place. I didn't want to hear what anybody's best sukkahs was. I was going through my own personal crisis. I didn't want to be alone at a dinner, a mother of six children. Suddenly I'm alone. And one woman stood up, and in a very thick Russian accented Hebrew, she talked about her first sukkahs as an observant Jew. And she was living in St. Petersburg. And the sukkah that she and her friends had secretly constructed, I believe that the year was 1972. And they had secretly constructed this sukkah. And what happened was, it was early September, and the snow collapsed it. So they trudged across to the center of the city. And in the center of the city, they got to the second known sukkah. And when they got there, the Jews all huddled around the table in this second secret sukkah, pushed them out. They said, get out of here. We'll make too much noise. They'll know you're here. We cannot afford to have you here. And the same group of university Jews from St. Petersburg trudged to the end of the city, to the other end, where they knew that there was a third sukkah. And they were invited in, and there were benches brought in and extra tables. And a rabbi got up to speak. And I guess there's some humor in this story because, you know, some rabbis, you get them up to speak, you're going to be sitting there for a long, long time. And they sat and they listened. And she talked about the warmth she felt in the sukkah, suddenly acknowledging that in a place where to be a Jew was a crime, a crime punishable by a prison sentence, as Anatoly Natan Sharansky would have told us. And they sat and they listened to this rabbi speaking free in the sukkah that was eternally a symbol of connection to our people and our God in heaven. And then the rabbi said, Chag Sameach, happy holiday, enjoy your meal. And she put her spoon to the bowl and her soup had frozen. This was her best sukkot. So it reminds me on a, see, this is a new mic I'm using. Nathan says I sound good and loud, but you can hear every paper and every of coffee. Okay. So anyway, this is the season where we start inviting rain. Everything that is in the Siddur, all the mention of weather, comes from the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael. And one of the things I must mention, I read an article. Oh, I was like looking off for the stuff of this program, and I looked at this article, and it was written by a gal, a lovely woman, I can't remember her name, who lives in Florida. And she said, you know, here you have another testament. When the rabbis get up and speak and say, everybody get out into your sukkah, sukkah typically coincides with hurricane season. So there you have it. People go out there and they demonstrate this great faith. When you have every relatively modern reason to get back into your home, no, the winds are blowing and you get out into your sukkah. I know my own dear mother, 89 years old, is visiting my brother in Silver Spring, Maryland, and they were barely able to make kiddush and say hamotzi over the bread before they had to run in because the rains came pouring down. So again, we are vulnerable. No reason to fool ourselves. We start the rainy season, and I just want to get these words in. When it starts to rain, the way God deems it's supposed to rain, see where the rain falls. See what's nurtured. Your peach tree gets what your peach tree is supposed to get. Your peppers get what the peppers are supposed to get. The flowers, the trees, everything gets what it's supposed to get, including the trees that the leaves are beginning to fall off and they turn gray. They are getting what they are supposed to get. And it reminds me of the same thing. When we water our children, we water them in different ways. The child who needs more quiet time, we rain quiet time on him. The child that needs more reading time, more laughing time, more ball kicking time, that is what we rain. Sukkot teaches us this. It's the same thing in our marriages. Sometimes we have to rain a little bit of disappointment as we explore things together. Sometimes we have to rain a little extra love, a little extra support, and we have to do it on our neighbors as well. So this Sukkot, as we open up this Sukkot season, and we think about now, right after Shmini Atzeret, we're going to start praying for the rain. This is Andrea Simintov in Holy Johannesburg. I'll see you on the other side. Stay connected.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
And we are back. Boy, what I don't do for you guys, in between, I'm racing. I'm like online. There's something I wanted to share with you, and I had forgotten to get it. Oh, by the way, this is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. You are listening to Israel News Talk Radio, and I have to tell you, if your computer is not set 24/7 to Israel News Talk Radio, you know what? You're lost. Okay. Sukkot. Got to be very careful. Very funny. When I look up things online and I'm in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the holy city of Jerusalem, the things that come in, the algorithm, brings it all down to me from very Jewish, very holy sources. And yet when I Google stuff from Johannesburg, I get sucked in. They sneak in a lot of stuff that's a little too messianic. So I have to really plow through this stuff and make sure that I'm not having an accident. Having said that, Every one of us is included. You know, where it says in the, you know, it says the Americans say that all men are created equal. And I remember hearing a very awkward, very painful drasha Torah talk and said, you know, is that really accurate? Are all men created equal? And the conclusion was, we all have potential. We all have opportunities. But we don't all have the same opportunities. And it's crazy. I have all of this secular stuff that piqued my interest in the last 2 weeks since the last show. I'm not sure I'm going to get to it. But we have to talk about that in a minute. And with the shaking, I'm sure those of you who live in Jewish areas, those of you who are, of course, observant Jews, all have your lulav and your etrog. Your lulav is your date palm. And then you have the little bushy things by the sides. We have the myrtle, and I'm looking at the whole thing here together, the myrtle and the willow, and everything has a different symbol. So the lulav has a taste. It's from the date palm, but it has no fragrance. The myrtle that we put on the side, it has a smell and no taste, and the willow has neither. Each one represents a different kind of human being, a different ben adam. Some have learning and wonderful deeds. Some have learning, but they're really not mensches. Others aren't mensches, and they really do not act like good people. But real community is found in the fact that we are bound together and we're brought under one roof, the roof of heaven, that heavenly roof that we see when we look up. And I have to tell you, I ran into the house because I have like a lot of grandchildren who wake up. I'm telling you, these children don't sleep. They wake up at 4:55 or 5:05 in the morning. I know, because I sleep with pillows on my head. So I had to sneak. I'm in like a different building on the property to do this show. Anyway, at the end of our davening, our Shabbos davening, it comes from the Talmud, and I'm going to, you know, it's very funny, the English is hard for me, but most of us are English speakers, well, at least three of us listening. So come from the Talmud at the end, after we sing, Ein Keloheinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kimalcheinu, there is no one like you, God. from there, we know who our umbrella is, and then we go into this marvelous Talmud Parsha, and it says the incense mixture, and they're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, and this connects directly to our wonderful Chag of Sukkot. And what made up the incense? The incense mixture was formulated from 11 spices, and here comes my English transliteration, anka, galbanum, frankincense, each weigh, and then it says what it weighs, myrrh, cassia, spikenard, saffron, costus, aromatic bark, cinnamon, lye, wine, all different kinds of spices. So then we have to say, like, what is this about? And I'm particularly fascinated when they talk about the galbanum. And this is a repulsive spice. They said that if a pregnant woman would hold it under her nose, she could actually miscarry. What the heck is it doing in the spice mixture in the Holy Temple? Very funny. If you leave it out of the mixture, the mixture does not smell as fragrant. It is not as marvelous. It is not as rich. And as a matter of fact, to leave it out or any one of those fragrances out, or to reduce any of the quantities that are required, actually, it was punishable by death. So we have to ask ourselves, why would something really crummy smelling be punishable by death? And that is because it belongs. You cannot just have a community of tzaddikim, holy people, because you know what? It goes off. You need to have the give and take, because everybody brings something to the table. Even the four sons at Pesach, the son who is supposedly downright evil, guess what? He's at the table. Any of you gals listening in, I want to go in and look in the, let me just look here. Anybody in our chat room? Anybody in the chat room cook? It's very important to know if you cook, because I'm clicking. Do you hear my clicking? All right. If you cook or you bake, you know that when you bake a chocolate cake rich with Dutch chocolate and sugar and real vanilla bean and all that good stuff, if you don't add salt, your cake is going to be off. You need salt to pull out the taste of the delicious chocolate. All right. I want to talk a little bit about holiness in the holy community of Johannesburg, who is hosting me this week. And I have to tell you, it's incredible. As I said at the beginning, I wasn't shy. I told you right out. I have a sick grandchild. I can't hide it. We have a lot of Tehillim groups saying psalms in the merit of a refuah shelema, a complete recovery for my grandson. Today I'm going to see his beautiful the chemotherapy clinic where he's being treated, and I'm actually very excited, because holy people doing holy work all together. And I have to tell you, sometimes sit in the other room preparing for the show, of course, always preparing for the show, my friends, and I hear the voices of the young girls coming to help out my daughter, because my daughter is home. She has this very sick, adorable, delicious little baby who is a miracle every step of the way. And she has three other miraculous little boys, the oldest one of whom is 5. That's a handful. Baby can't be alone. He's in isolation. He's in a room by himself with a full-time caregiver. But she needs a lot of help. Bath time, feeding time, dressing time. And I sit in the room and I listen to these kids, and I juxtapose it to some of the filth that consumes our airways and the filth that consumes the front pages of the newspapers and the filth that consumes the available videos that are rated PG on YouTube. And I hear the voices of these holy girls, usually girls, sometimes boys come over, talking so sweetly. And I wonder, what kind of homes do they come from? And I've met the Holmes, and they're the real deal. They talk, they laugh, they joke. And you know, you don't have to be cool. These kids are very not cool. And there's something blessed, something holy, something wonderful about these not cool kids who their complete motivation in life is to do chesed, to do good, to do kivod av ve'eim, honoring their mothers and fathers. My grandson, one of my grandsons, I have to, this is my shvit, this is my show, okay? That's what the engineer said to me. I said, can you hear me typing? Can you hear me slurping? And he said, it's your show, do what you want. So I'm going to brag a little bit. My oldest grandson, he's actually my oldest grandchild. His name is Shmuel David, named after my father. May he rest in peace. And Shmuel David, during the intermediate days of Sukkot, ran a fundraiser for the synagogue and yeshiva. He did this whole thing by himself. And you had to see him. He ran all over Johannesburg. Of course, his mother had to drive him. And he collected from businesses, not even Jewish businesses. You had to hear all these businesses gave him prizes, gave him tickets, free popcorns when they come in. The grand prize for the Eish HaTorah raffle was 2 free tickets to jump. It's like a trampoline place, plus 120 rand. 120 rand is about, let me just say, 4, 8, 12, 16. No, it's not even, it's like $30 or 30 shekel. 30 shekels. It's very, very cute. But this is, and his sisters help him, his brothers, and they're so adorable. No TV in their homes. They listen to Jewish music, Jewish songs, and they go around. And if they have a free afternoon, there's a list of people who need visitors. They go to the old age home. I have to tell you, it's staggering. All right, so let me see whatever I go on. Let me just see here. So the thing is, you know, on this show, and we get the notes all the time, that you know that I'm pro-Aliyah. I don't think that there's any reason for any Jew in the world not to live in Israel. But I have to tell you, somebody here last night, they kind of chopped me down to size. And they juxtaposed some of the sad things that go on in Israel, some of the things that have to be addressed, some of the things in Israel that just have to get better and be better. And my only defense is that I do believe that all my South African friends listening should indeed come to Israel and come make it a little bit more civil and a little bit more like South Africa on some days. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to hear some thoughts that I have from Rabbi Wine on Sukkot. Stay on the line, pull up a chair, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair in Johannesburg, South Africa. Surprise, if you're just tuning in. All right, it's hard to believe that I do not sound like I come from Johannesburg. So a couple of things before we get into our like really holy stuff. All that other stuff was what we call a vorspeis. That was all an appetizer. All right, a couple of things because I usually do the things that interest me during the week. I feel a little bit guilty because my son-in-law, I don't have access to a printer here in my daughter's home. So my son-in-law ran back to the office and he printed out for me. So apologies to Antonino Scalabrino because I really didn't use any of the materials that he ran out to get me. So before we finish this third segment, I just want to two little things that kind of ping, ping, ping during the week. I found this, wait, you can hear the papers on this new, here's the loud papers. Two things that made me sit up and Well, one thing gave me a real yuck, and I know it's not funny, but it's, you know, how PC are we? Here it is. Wait a second. Here. Wait a second. I've got to find this. Apparently. Oh, here it is. Wait. Stay with me. This is, I'm burying the papers. Here it is. Some churches. I'm always interested in churches. I like, you know, okay, I'm interested in people that are spiritual. So I like that. Some churches will now offer gluten-free communion bread. I found that fascinating. You know, it's like you go to Shabbos dinners where, you know, chickens run, the way turkeys run for the hill, Erev Thanksgiving, chickens run whenever they're a Jew, because what Jews do to chickens is a very terrible thing. Well, apparently, the gluten god has been addressed, and some churches for communion are going to offer gluten-free communion bread. I found that fascinating. Okay, Ben, bowing to the times. Here's the paper. Finished. Okay, here we go. Now, also, my friend Dumasani Washington, very interesting guy, very interesting Facebook. He has a church. His only son, married a South African woman, and they're about to have their first child. They are Christians. They are Israel adoring, Jew-loving Christians. And one thing, he put a quote on his wall, and I just loved it, and said, if your church is anti-Israel, find a new church. I like that. That's your message for the week. For those Christians listening in, church-going Christians, if your church is anti-Israel, find a new church. Okay, and before we go to the Devar Torah, a few things I wanted to say. Number one, I think the engineer, just between you and me, the engineer might be drunk. I'll find out more afterwards, okay? He may still be celebrating in his sukkah. Now, the other thing is when I talked about the rain coming down and what we water, I just wanted to express one more thing. You know, what we water with love, what we water with God's blessing, what we water in terms of our children, we water our relationships, we water our growth and our depth. Sometimes water runs amok. We know, and it's not a laughing matter, the kind of flooding, levees bursting, cars and communities destroyed. We remember the story of the boys in Thailand in the cave and the miraculous outcome. Well, the mostly miraculous, there was a death. Water can be our most terrible enemy. It has to be respected. It has to be nurtured. But when something is wrong with the water, when something is wrong with the overabundance, or be it a lack of water, it means we have to sit up and we do have to take notice, because we talk about it all the time. It's based on Israel, the center of the universe, Eretz Israel. And when something's off, we have to sit up and take notice. And one more thing, the reason we go in the sukkah is because it makes no sense. It makes no human sense. It makes no logical sense. That's the time you have to add the extra insulation to the house and pull out your Uggs and, you know, make the hot chocolate. But no, the crazy Jews go and run out. Okay. So now I'm going to speak to you. By the way, that rain thing also, I was actually alerted to it by Rabbi Kaufman here in the Eish HaTorah community of Johannesburg, Glen Hazel Sydenham, Sand. I don't know. They're all not locked up together, this Jewish community here. It's a ghetto. Anyway, it was Rabbi Kaufman who brought this down, and I loved it. And actually, I invited him to be on the show this morning, but it's a crazy week for Jews. We'll see if we can get him on next week. If not, maybe I'll get him on when I'm back in Israel, and we'll do it via Skype, because he has a lot of very interesting things to share. So let me see where I'm doing time-wise. Let's go, baby. All right, so Sukkot comes, you know, it really should be, in my mind's eye, it should be in June. We get to sleep outside. It's very nice, not too hot. But it comes exactly at the right time, both psychologically and emotionally. This is brought down by Rabbi Beryl Wein. May he live and be well. Check out Rabbi Beryl Wein, Berelwein. your life will be altered. Because, you know, if it wasn't for all the preparations of Sukkot and the excitement and, you know, standing on ladders and getting ready to celebrate all the joy and happiness, you know, we could get very, very depressed because we're actually climbing down from the pinnacle of where we were standing on Yom Kippur to a very, very mundane kind of a existence. So it kind of is allowing us to bridge our gap as we enter the winter. It gives us a sense of happiness. It gives us a sense of satisfaction, and it helps us cement all that we've been praying for. It signals, the sukkah signifies a speech impediment, signifies that all our protection comes from the Lord, and he's going to provide for us. He's going to provide for us in the way that most suits us. Aha, aha. Remember what Andrea said about rain? Although an actual sukkah is extremely small, it's flimsy as compared to our homes, it's the ultimate symbol of faith, serenity, and confidence. There you have it, in the eternity of both the Torah and indeed of Israel. And we talked about the four species of vegetation, the integral part of Sukkot, that it is our appreciation for the beauty in God's world. When it comes to a minute about nature, there are people who say to me, you know, I don't do nature, but, you know, I don't do God, you know, I don't do, you know, the Garden of Eden and the 7-day creation. I believe that nature is God, but we actually, you know, believe differently. We believe that the world can be our Garden of Eden, and we have to every single day endeavor to build it, create it, and not destroy it, or God forbid, be expelled from it. We can create it in our own homes. You know, and the different species I talked about it, the myrtle, the willow, the lulav, and indeed the fragrant, delicious etrog, it all represents that harmony of nature, the flash of color, and among the symbols. You know, I think often when we say a bracha, when we say a blessing over an apple, God does not need our blessing. Believe me, I do believe that if I skip 6 or 26 blessings, I believe that those apples will appear on the tree, because I'm not the only human around who thinks she merits God's goodness. The blessing is for me. And understand that to worship nature is really, it's a declaration of paganism. Judaism stresses that nature is the creation of God. Pretty fascinating. You know, people look at a beautiful building and they say, wowie, what a beautiful building. What gorgeous marble. Look at the chandeliers. But you have to remember that there was an architect. Judaism is always impressed by the building, but always understood that there is an architect behind us. This is what Sukkot is going to bring down. Now, we have to always search. Let me see what else I want to share with you quickly, because I want to jump in. Oh, yeah, one of the things I have to tell you, I got these notices. It made me very sad, actually. These were from rabbinical students from the Hebrew Union College. It is the Reform. And you know how I every Jew is part of the chocolate cake. Every Jew is part of the lulav and etrog. And I'm very angry at the rabbinical college, because somehow these rabbinical students came out with the idea that doing nature in New Hampshire or walking the Berkshires is how they are going to celebrate Sukkot this year. Again, I cannot fault them. I can fault the messenger. They got the wrong message. The Berkshires are important. The Berkshires are critical. The Berkshires are not Sukkot. You know, we talk about it from Israel, because Israel water is terribly, terribly critical. We have no great rivers. We have no lakes. you know, we have a canary, but it suffers. We are very, very dependent on the season's rains. And, you know, we pray that these rains are going to be abundant, gentle, saturating. Take what I'm saying into your own life. The rains of our home, will they be gentle? Will they be abundant? Will they be saturating? Will it be healthy in your marriage? I'm really so, so excited. So our, let me just see, I want to just get this down here and finish up so we... And holy, 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 holy. No, we're not going to talk about Time Magazine. Okay. The Torah is eternal. Sukkot is eternal. Our relationship and our connection to God and Israel is eternal. The source of our joy, we're going to complete the Torah together. We're going to complete it, start again. And again and again, the great Mandela of life, Moedim L'Simcha, Shabbat Shalom, from Johannesburg.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.